Gracious God, we thank you for your goodness to us in allowing us another day of life. Father in heaven, there are those among us, as we have just heard in another prayer, who are hurting, who are missing loved ones. Father, some of our hearts feel as if they are not even here. So please, Lord, enliven us by your Spirit, comfort us, strengthen us. We pray, Father, for any who do not know Jesus Christ, that in these very next few minutes, your word and Spirit would be so active in their hearts that they would come to know him. Father, each of us needs to know you better. So please send your Spirit powerfully among us, that your word would be proclaimed in truth, and that it would be received by your people with faith and love, and that it would call any who do not know you to salvation. O God, be among us now for your honor and glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. To whom do you really want to matter? How much of your sense of personal significance is bound up in what you hope will be the opinion of someone else? Or perhaps a group of people, and you think, if I could just be legitimate in their eyes, if they could just speak well of me, if I would just fit in with that particular person or that particular crowd, if this person would just show an interest in me, then I would feel legitimate. Then I would feel real. Then I would know that I've arrived, or at least that I'm on my way. To whom do you really want to matter? For me personally, I would really like to matter to Bruce Lee. Now, that's not going to happen for many, many reasons. Even if the undisputed master of modern martial arts, and by the way, the pioneer of mixed martial arts, even if he were still alive today, he would not be very impressed with my martial arts. My dad used to tell me about Bruce Lee when I was growing up. One time, apparently, Bruce kicked someone so hard that he sent the guy flying, and there's nothing new about that. But this guy was flying so fast and so hard that someone who tried to stand up and catch him actually broke his own arm. There's so much to admire in that. In college, when I was dating the wonderful woman who had become my wife, I gave her a stuffed bear, and not one of those big, huge bears that someone shot and brought to the taxidermist, because that would have been messed up. Okay. But what I did was potentially even more messed up. I bought her a cute little stuffed bear, because I loved her, and yet I put a picture of Bruce Lee and taped it to its face. I don't even know why. So, psych department, please start your analysis and let me know what you come up with. Beyond childhood dreams of mattering to someone or being like someone, dreams which obviously for some of us survive into college age dreams, when you take an honest look at your heart, to whom do you really want to mean something? Perhaps for some of you, the answer is anyone. I just want to matter to someone, whoever that may be. And perhaps you find yourself doing and saying things that you never thought you would, just to draw attention to yourself, just to matter to someone. Perhaps you've counted yourself out of the category of mattering. You've done something. Perhaps you've hurt someone. You just live or think a certain way. And you have this horrible sense of perhaps even your own selfishness in your heart. And you think it's better that others don't know me. It's better that they stay away. And if they knew what I was really like, they would stay away. Well, these questions and the answers that we come up with tap into some of the deepest pains that we could ever carry with us in this life. The pain of not being what we want to be, or enough of what we want to be. Of not measuring up in the eyes of someone whom we admire. Sometimes that heart-crushing pain even comes from family. those who are supposed to love us unconditionally sometimes seem unconditionally committed to not doing so. Sometimes it seems that no matter what we do, we will not matter in the way that we want to them. Well, so far this year in chapel, when I've had the privilege of speaking to you, we've considered together the theme of Jesus's book. The Bible is Jesus's book. We've re-examined some really obvious truths about Scripture, big, beautiful truths which we so often overlook and ignore. Truths such as God is a songwriter, and that the Bible is a book, and that books have words. We've thought about these truths in terms of standing next to a skyscraper, something that is so enormous and right there, but you have to take a step back to feel its enormity. Well, the truth we'll examine this morning is more like Mount Everest than a skyscraper. Let's put these pieces of obvious truth together to form a beautiful picture. Think along with me, please. This, the Bible, is Jesus's book. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one by whom we know God as Father. And therefore, you who know Christ are his family. And this, therefore, is your family album. Think about that. Not only are you the objects of Jesus' saving work, but you are his siblings if you're trusting him in faith. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Prince of Peace, God incarnate, is your brother. Jesus is your brother. That is a statement that is both simple and stunning. It's simple. It's obvious in a sense if you have ever referred to God as your father and known him as your father. And yet the statement is also stunning because the one and only Son of God is your sibling. And he is happy to be so. And we'll divide this simple and stunning statement and idea into two this morning in order to truly take it in. First of all, Jesus is your brother, and second of all, he is not ashamed to call you his siblings. Jesus is your brother. Listen to this description of Jesus Christ as it's found in the opening words of the book of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And then in chapter 2, in our passage, the one who is the radiance of God's glory, the one who is the exact representation of his being, the one by whom and through whom and for whom all things exist, goes by the name of brother. Now, how is Jesus the brother of those who know him as Lord and Savior? Well, Hebrews chapter 2, once again, this time verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And so he is like us in our humanity, but he is unlike us with regard to sin. Hebrews, again, this time chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect tempted as we are, and yet who is without sin. Jesus took our sin, our guilt, our shame upon himself. Again, our passage. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 10, by God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. That means, friends, that his sacrifice is done. And if you know him, it means that your status in his family is sealed forever. One theologian points out that now that Jesus has done what he has done, he can never be thought of apart from his family, apart from you who know him. Have you ever heard of siblings who really get along well? That's one thing. But have you ever heard of those who do this statement? They are inseparable. Well, so it is with you and your Savior. You're inseparable. For you who are Christians, think back to the questions with which we opened. To whom do you really want to matter? Or put a different way, who are you afraid of not mattering to? Is it your friends or those whom you desperately want to be your friends? Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The Lord of heaven and earth is your friend. Even being best friends with Bruce Lee does not compare. Christians, how well do you know your best friend? Remember, the Bible is his book, and he has given you his Spirit. This friend wants you to know him so well that the opinion of other friends, which of course will rise and fall, will fade by comparison. Now, the opinions of others will still matter to you, but they must not define you. Find your identity and your true sense of significance in your friend, who is your brother. Perhaps for some of you, it's your parents or one parent to whom you don't seem to matter. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 27. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Now think of it again, a big, beautiful, obvious truth. If Jesus is your brother, then you must have the same Father. So again, back to our text. I will tell of your name to my brothers. Behold, I and the children God has given me. And that's just it, friends. It's not as if Jesus had to convince the Father to love you. It's not as if Jesus had to beg the Father to consider you as his children. No. Rather, it is the Father's love from all of eternity which sent the Son to do work to make it a reality that you would know God not only as Creator, but as Father. It's as if Jesus says, if they matter that much to my Father, then they matter that much to me. As Christians, you matter that much. And so the second big, beautiful Mount Everest truth, with which we'll close this morning, Jesus is our brother. And secondly, he is not ashamed to be called our brother. He is not ashamed to call us his siblings. Now you might think, in the privacy of your own heart and in the pain that resides there, I don't matter. I can't matter. You don't know what I'm really like. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but I know what he has done. And I know why he did it. Jesus lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for the sins of his people. He rose again, and he reigns now over all things for the express purpose of pleasing his Father by creating a holy people. Christ knows what you are ashamed of. And he also knows the difference between what you should be ashamed of and what you should not be ashamed of. And sometimes we get very confused between those two. In the midst of hurt and pain, we find it hard to see straight and to be able to sort out what is in fact our sin and what is not. Well, again, Jesus' book gives us guidance. And when it comes to our sin, that for which we should be ashamed, Jesus knows it. He's dealt with it. He knows it better than we do, and it's the reason he came to begin with. He's freed you from it, and he will let you experience more and more of that victory which he has already won as you look to him in faith, led by his Spirit and Word. So this morning, if you are a Christian and you have unresolved matters before your Heavenly Father, confess them to him. Come clean. He knows about them already. He has given his Son to rid you not only of that shame, but of the sin which brings it about. Now perhaps this morning you feel like a small child, hiding in a corner, burying your face in your hands, trying desperately not to be seen, because you know what you've done, and you can't bear, in the case of this child, to look your dad in the eye. Well, a good dad goes to that child, gently turns that child's tear-stained face toward him and says, "I love you. Always. Now tell me all about it." And then that dad guides that child in what the child needs to do. Apologies he might need to make. Difficult things, yes, but done with his dad right by his side. God, through Jesus Christ, is more than a good dad. The Father gave his Son, and the Son is with us always by his Spirit. Always with us. The Son wants you to know this Father more and more. And you perhaps heard the expression, like Father, like Son. Well, Jesus is not ashamed to be called your brother. Now listen to this description of your Father from Hebrews chapter 11. It's written about believers and their longing to be in heaven with God. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Whatever your background, whatever your current situation, among friends, among family, if you are a Christian, you have a family and you have a home. You belong. You matter. Now, if you do not know Christ, you matter very much as well. You are an image bearer of the God whom you do not yet know. Do not let another day, do not let this hour go by without coming to know him. He is there, he is available, and if you are honest with your heart, you know that he exists. You have that within you which cries out for him to exist, and yet for whatever reason you've avoided that fact. And Jesus Christ holds out to you the gospel which he himself lived and brought about. And he promises you, upon the authority of his own life given and raised from the dead, that anyone who comes to him he will never cast out, but will gladly bring before the presence of his Father and present him or her as a sibling. Come to Christ. As one pastor puts it, we are not born into the divine family, only reborn into it. Come to Christ. Forget whatever excuses you've been using so far. Forget whatever failings you've experienced from other people. Yes, they and we will fail you. God will not. You know that there are matters that need to be made right. Confess your sin to him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And he will make you a son or a daughter whom he will never, ever cast out, and whom he will never, ever fail. For all of you who do know God as your Father through Jesus Christ, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, realize and rejoice again in this big, basic, obvious truth. The Holy Spirit wrote a book to tell you about your father and your brother, to tell you about your family and your true home. The Bible is your family album. It is where you find out who you really are. And it is where you find out whose you really are. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a privilege to address you not only as God, but as Father. We know that it cost the life of your Son in order to have that privilege of prayer and to relate to you so personally as to call you Father. And we know that the Son was willing and even eager to do this work. We praise you for the Holy Spirit who unites us to him. And we ask, true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would teach us all the more about who we are and who you have made us in your Son. And again, Father, we plead with you on behalf of anyone this morning who simply doesn't see a need to listen, to come before you. Oh God, grant humility and repentance and faith. And please, Lord, build all of us up in the character of Jesus Christ, that we would radiate his love. For he is our wisdom, he is our peace, he is our righteousness. He is all in all. And we praise you in his name. Amen.